Good morning. This morning's scripture comes from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of that first of the day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This ends the reading of today's word.
Thank you, Arlie. Friends, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Earlier this week, I had coffee with a friend via FaceTime. As we chatted, it became very clear to me that she is barely holding it together right now. In fact, she was chatting for me from her bedroom where she had closed and locked the door to get a little bit of a break from her kids. Her husband is a contractor. He isn't able to work right now. She said they can cover their bills for now, but she's worried what the summer is going to look like. Her kids have been home with her now for over a month. Last week, their school sent home packets of homework for them to complete each day, which means that she has had to put the girls on a schedule because all three of them can't be on the computer at the same time. She's working from home as a real estate agent, but she can't show houses right now. And her boss keeps scheduling these mandatory happy hours at 2 o'clock to boost morale. The problem is that this is exactly when her daughter is supposed to be online taking a math test. She told me that most days she just wants to hide under the covers because maybe then she'll get a break from the dogs and the kids and the mortgage payments. Does her situation sound familiar to you? Even if you aren't sheltering at home with little kids or scrambling to cover your bills because of un or underemployment or recovering from the coronavirus or caring for someone who's recovering, everyone's lives are hard right now. We're all being asked to sacrifice. Our lives today look completely different than they did 6 weeks ago. We're worried about our jobs, our families, and our futures. We're wondering when or even if things will return to normal. In many ways, our lives look more like the disciples did on that evening of the first Easter day than they ever did before. Huddled together behind a locked door. While we're socially distancing from a virus, the disciples are hiding from the leaders who were behind the plot to kill Jesus. Like us, the disciples are likely afraid for their lives and afraid for their uncertain futures. They're scared to leave their homes and they're wondering what's going to happen next. In our scripture reading for this morning, we learned that Jesus isn't stopped by fear or by locked doors. He came to the home of the disciples and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." See, Jesus comes not to confront his disciples with their failures, of the ways they denounce him or abandon him during his arrest and crucifixion, but they come to grant them peace. A week later, Jesus appears to Thomas, one of the 12, who was not with the disciples when Jesus came. Thomas demands that Jesus show up for him, just like Jesus showed up for the other disciples. Thomas says, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my fingers in his side, I will not believe." Once Thomas sees Jesus' hand and feels Jesus' side, he stops doubting and he believes. The story of Thomas is kind of the prototype of what Christian discipleship looks like, or of how people came to faith in Jesus. First, one person, in this case, Mary Magdalene, sees Jesus. She then goes and she tells the disciples about her encounter. Initially, the disciples doubt that she really saw Jesus. It isn't until they have an encounter with the risen Lord that they are able to believe. And once they believe, they are able to go and tell others about him. And so it goes until the gospel is shared with every nation and peoples. Friends, I believe that the good news of this Easter season we're in is this. Well, I believe that there are two bits of good news. The first is that no matter the wrenching chaos of the world, no matter where or how or even if we mark this day, Easter happens. Easter happens in an empty tomb. Easter happens in the space between ourselves and our computer screens. Easter will happen as we transition to whatever our new normal looks like. Just as Jesus found the disciples on that first Easter morning, Jesus will continue to find us behind our locked doors, and Jesus will continue to offer us peace. The second bit of good news is that everyone doubts, but not everyone believes. I think this is good news for those of us who are maybe struggling to see God at work in the midst of a global pandemic. Thomas teaches us that faith is not always believing in that which we cannot see. It is hanging in there with some level of interest and commitment until Jesus moves us to the next level. Friends, like many of you, this week I've been reflecting on what faith looks like in the midst of a global pandemic. For me, faith looks a lot like hanging in there, of taking each day as it comes, of developing a routine and of trying to set small goals, of being patient with myself and with those I'm interacting with, of remaining unwaveringly hopeful that we are going to get through this, while at the same time confronting difficult realities, of being okay with saying, I don't know, while at the same time saying, but I'm not going anywhere. This week, during our offering time, I asked us all to reflect on where we see signs of hope during these unpredictable times. Please continue to share your thoughts with me on this. Send me an email or a text message. I'd love to hear what you've learned. The reason that I had us do this is because we're all feeling some degree of doubt right now. We're all angry with God, with each other, with this stupid virus. It's difficult to see God at work when you're just trying to make it through the day. But even in the middle of a bad day, there are signs of hope. This is why I asked you to reflect on where you've experienced the presence of Jesus during this period of isolation. Maybe you experienced Jesus in the quiet moments with your kids that you missed when everyone was running around to their practices and play dates. Maybe you experienced Jesus in the phone calls from friends and families calling to check up on you. Maybe a stranger dropped off toilet paper or food or a bottle of wine when you were at the end of your rope. I experienced Jesus this week when I had to go to MedExpress to get my foot x-rayed, and because people were staying at home, MedExpress wasn't overwhelmed, and I was able to be seen quickly and confirm that it was just a sprain and that I hadn't broken my foot. Friends, what I love about our scripture reading for this morning is that Thomas doesn't just doubt, he demands. He demands that Jesus show himself and answer his questions. Even in doubt, he expects that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is powerful, and that Jesus cares for his people. He doesn't use his doubt to refuse to ask Jesus the hard questions. Instead, he uses his doubt to demand Jesus remain with him, remind him who he is and whose he is. Demanding that Jesus show up is one way that Thomas holds on to hope in the midst of uncertain times. Friends, my hope for us this week is that even in doubt, we would be willing to demand some resurrection hope, to demand that God show up for the hurting, the feverish, the unemployed, the grieving, the new moms of this lonely new world, and to wash over us with the good news of Easter, the news that Jesus is alive, and for that we have hope, and for that we celebrate. Because of Easter, we have hope that Good Friday will not last forever, even and especially in the midst of a global pandemic. Friends, my hope for us this week is that we would be able to go out into this week living into that hope that in the midst of strange and uncertain times, let us try in all that we are and in all that we do, extend the peace of Christ with those we interact with, either at home, in line at the grocery store, or in the middle of a Zoom meeting. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.